Please open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. And as you do this, take a moment and just pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the wonderful miracle of conversion. We thank you, Lord, that though we were lost in our sins and transgressions, that by the work of Jesus Christ, you have made a way that we can be found. We thank you, Lord, that there was a moment for many of us where you removed the scales from our eyes and you caused us to be alive and able to respond to this glorious gospel. We thank you, Lord, for the work of your Holy Spirit in that moment. And we thank you, Lord, for the work of Jesus Christ who made salvation possible. We do thank you, Lord, for your love that sent him into the world. And we pray that now as we come and we think a little bit more about this moment, about this way of salvation, that you would speak to us, that you, for those in this room who do have their trust in Christ, that you would refill our hearts with thankfulness. And for those who don't know Jesus, we pray that even tonight as they hear the call of Jesus Christ himself, we ask, Lord, that you would use his word and press it upon hearts and cause individuals to respond. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, it depends at what stage you did your driving test, but for many people who are under the age of 34, 5, somewhere around there, when you did your test, you had to do what was called the hazard perception test as part of the experience. And what you were being tested in at that point was your ability not just to observe the things that are happening immediately around you, but to scan further up the road and to spot things that may cause trouble as they came closer to you, to look ahead and to see the dangers that were approaching. The problem and the reason for that test is that most of us tend to just focus on what is happening immediately around us. And in life, it's not just in driving. In life generally, that's the way we operate. We tend to focus on what is happening immediately around us and not lift our eyes up at anything that is coming in the future. Most people are simply concerned with making sure that life here and now is comfortable here and now, that there is nothing that's causing us any problems, and they don't give a second thought to what is coming next, where it may lead. They're not thinking about where they are headed, what particular road they happen to be on in life. And in Matthew chapter 7, really Matthew chapter 5 to 7, you have a captive audience listening to Jesus as he gives the Sermon on the Mount. And this particular group of people are very similar to most individuals in life. It's a mixed group of people. They're interested in Jesus because he was the main curiosity of the day. They're there because, you know, they wanted to hear this Jesus that so many people have been talking about. If you look at the end of Matthew chapter 7, at the end of Jesus' sermon that runs through these three chapters, we read in verse 28, "And when Jesus finished these sayings, the crowds were astonished at his teaching." These people are a people who are nodding as Jesus spoke. They're a people who are all captivated. They are a people who look so similar, and yet Jesus just before will say to them, "Many of you will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not? And I will say, I never knew you." A group of people who all look like they're in agreement, a group of people who all look excited, a group of people who are all engaged in what Jesus is saying, and yet a group of people who are a mixed bag in terms of where they are spiritually. Jesus says that most of these individuals, though they look interested, are actually on a very different road. And that's part of what he is addressing here in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. If you look at Matthew chapter 7 and verse 13, Jesus says, "Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide, and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many, for the gate is narrow, and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few." Jesus is talking to this large mixed bag crowd. And he says to them this big commandment, enter by the narrow gate. And then he immediately offers them two reasons why they should enter by this particular gate. Verse 13, you should enter the gate because the alternative, it ends horribly. And then verse 14, you should enter the narrow gate because it ends in life. This is the picture that Bunyan had in his mind as he wrote this first section of Pilgrim's Progress. And we simply want to unpack these two verses tonight by contrasting the two roads that Jesus talks about. The first is the road that you enter via the wide gate. The wide gate there in verse 13. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide, and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many. All I want you to do is notice, first of all, the description of this particular way. Two words are used, two words to describe this gate and this way, wide and easy. It is a wide gate. Here we see a gate that has many, many different options. A gate that is open to all, no matter who they are and what they are like. Here is a gate that incorporates those who are carnal hedonists and want to fuel the desires of their flesh, as well as the stern-faced Pharisee. He too can enter this gate quite comfortably. Here's a gate that's wide enough for the clean-cut businessman as well as the down-and-out. A gate that is wide enough for the broken addict as well as the self-righteous, family-orientated individual. This is a gate that caters to you and your interests, to the things that you care about most. Whatever your whim is, whatever your preference is, whatever your sensibility is, you can fit it in this particular gate. You don't have to give anything up. You can either live very self-indulgently in the city of destruction, or if you prefer, you can take a journey to the city of morality and live a self-righteous, high, impressive, Pharisaical style life. You can get both types of lives according to this gate. Here is a road that suits all interests, all personality types. It's a wide gate. And we're told not only is it wide, but the first says it is easy. It's a wide gate and an easy way. You don't need to stress on this path. You don't need to wonder if this road really is for you. You don't need to think much about it. It is broad and it caters for you very comfortably. As you get older, maybe you're fed up being a hedonist and you decide it's now time for me to be a little bit more self-righteous and look down my nose at all the young people with their funny music. This road, it caters to that transformation in your life. You can fit in just as easily in this road, no matter what your preferences are. This is a road with very few bumps. This is a road that you can drive along very smoothly. And it's a road, in fact, that you could fall asleep in your car and you would never be woken up. This is a cruise control road. This is a road you don't have to think on. This is a road where you don't have to experience any conviction. Here is a road where you certainly don't have to take up any crosses. It's a wide and it's an easy road. And so it shouldn't surprise us that verse 13 also says it's a popular road. Verse 13 says, those who enter it are many. Here's the road with most people on it. It's the road that has a majority of people living and moving on it and having their being on it. Here is the trajectory that most people go through life content with. But notice how the destination is described that this road takes you to. The destination is different, verse 13. For the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. Here is a road that leads to destruction. It's true, isn't it? What costs little is worth very little. And here is a road that costs you absolutely nothing to travel down. But at the end, it'll steal everything from you. What moved Christian in Pilgrim's Progress to go a different path was that crushing sense of pending judgment. He looked up and he was able to perceive the coming hazard. He saw on the road ahead, the road that he and everybody else was going down, this broad road. He looked in the distance and he saw that abandonment was coming. He saw that destruction was looming on the horizon. He saw and he read about the weeping and gnashing of teeth that came around the corner. He felt the sense that the wrath of God for his sin was coming fast, and it burdened him. It pushed him to seek another way. Many people, the first says, are on this broad road, and they're completely unaware of the pending destruction that comes at the road end. Are you on that road tonight? There's a lot of times people come to church, and we're just glad sometimes to see you. But in reality, you can come to church and you can go through all of the platitudes of worship and be here and at the same time be on this particular road that Jesus warns about. It's not just the hedonist that is on this road. It's the one who seeks to live a moral life that is on this road. And yet Jesus says, this gate is wide, the way is easy, but it leads to destruction. It leads to destruction. And so Jesus commands, enter instead by the narrow gate. Jesus says, look up and recognize that there is another road that has been prepared. And it's described as this narrow gate. Look at verse 14. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life. And those who find it are few. Notice how this road is described. Again, two words are used. One word for the gate, it's narrow. And one word for the road, it's a hard road this time. That word narrow, Pilgrim's Progress, when you read the story, you keep hearing about the wicket gate, the wicket gate, the wicket gate. And you imagine a gate that is wicket, a gate that is bad. But that's not the picture that Bunyan has when he talks about the wicket gate. He's using a different word. He's using a word that speaks of a large castle door. And in that door, maybe to the side, there would have been a small door cut, a wicket door. And through that small individual entrance point, a single person could come through. Instead of a whole cart coming up to the castle and the large doors having to be opened, the small individual door at the side could be opened that an individual could squeeze through. One that was personal, one that was specific, a way of simple access. Bunyan here has Jesus' picture in his mind as he talks about the wicket gate. We could say as he talks about the narrow gate. It's a small point of interest. Because conversion, as Jesus says here, is personal. It's specific. It's done a particular way. Unlike that wide gate that is fit for anyone on their terms, the point of conversion, the narrow gate, is very precise. All true converts, they may have begun at different points. They may have started their journey at different ages, different parts of the world. But every true convert always has to enter by the same specific, particular way. You can't bring clutter through this gate. You can't have certain sins that you, personal sins that you hold on to and expect to walk through the gate with those sins still under your arm. You can't have merit on your shoulders and think that you can carry it through and somehow on the other side earn some favor or special treatment. This is a one-way only gate. You have to come the way it is prescribed. Here is an entrance point where you have to, everyone has to enter it, recognize their own sin. Here is an entrance point, a gate where you have to accept that you stand before God guilty. Here is an entrance point where you have to say, I can't fix myself. I can't make this better. I can't change myself. Here's an entrance point where you have to say, it's only Christ. It's only by what he has done. And an entrance point where you have to cling to him for your pardon. Here's an entrance point where after you have gone through the gate, you have to be determined to walk along the path that he has laid out for us. None of these things are up for negotiation. This is an essentially narrow gate. It's narrow. And we also read in verse 14 that the way that it opens up to you is hard. It's not a warm, cuddly path. It's a hard path. Sometimes non-Christians in the world, they think Christians, you know, they choose a soft and fluffy and easy option. It's a nice, pleasant, simple thing to be a Christian. That's not Christianity. And Jesus says that instead of an easy, gentle way through life, Christianity is a hard path through life. Here's a path that he calls you to go where you have to die to yourself. Here's a path where you have to run the race with perseverance. Here's a path where you have to be willing to wrestle off Satan and his evil ones so that they cannot hold you back. Here's a path where Jesus himself says we must be willing to take up our cross and follow him. This is a road where we have to follow the direction that Jesus has already gone. If we're to go the way Jesus went, it means we have to be willing to also be familiar with suffering. To be willing to be scorned and rejected by the world around us. Just like him, often we have to experience being one from whom men hid their faces. We have to live as aliens in this world. And it's very true in some particular parts of this world. We have to experience true, real, difficult persecution. Some even experience very awful and painful death. This is a sore, difficult, broken path with much that will trip you up and much that will cause pain. Please do not come to church and call yourself a Christian because it feels easy and nice. The path that God lays out for us is a difficult, a hard, Jesus says, path. And also, verse 14 would say, it's lonely. You see what it says at the end? For the gate is narrow, the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are what? Few. Those who find it are few. This is one of the most painful and sobering truths in all of Scripture. Few enter the narrow gate. Bunyan's story, as you think of all that catalogue of other individuals, reminds us of some of the reasons people don't follow. Christian's own family, they don't follow him because they have unbelief in their own hearts. Obstinate, he doesn't follow because he loves his current way of life. Pliable, he does seem keen, doesn't he? And he seems interested as he hears about heaven and the good things about Christianity. But as soon as he experiences his first trial, his first difficulty, he never gets to the gate because he's got no time for self-examination and dealing with who he is before God. Worldly wise man, he never gets to the gate because he's filled with a sense of self-importance. Legalist, he never gets to the gate because he's his own self-righteous system that he's living by. Civility, he never gets to the gate because that would be beneath him. But above that, he has a different way of living. A better way, he thinks, of living. Many people never get to the gate because they never truly feel their need of Jesus Christ. It's scary, isn't it? Few find it. Here is a narrow, hard, and lonely way. But notice the destination it takes the individual. The gate is narrow, and the way is hard that leads to life. This way leads to life. It may be grueling. It may be difficult. But the result at the end is eternally worthwhile. For the end of this path, at the end of this path, one finds real life. A life as it was designed to be, as it was always intended to be. A life that is brighter than you can imagine. A life that is more satisfying, more full than anything you can today think about. C.S. Lewis, in his book, The Great Divorce, he describes this future life as one that looks on the surface very similar to this particular world, but one where in it somehow the grass is more real and seems more solid and more substantial than anything we've ever experienced in this life. The scripture says, here is life to the full. Life to the full. An eternal life, not tainted in any way by sin, and full of the perfection of the designer. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide, and the way is easy that leads to destruction. Those who enter it are many, for the gate is narrow, and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Jesus says, either you can live happily for yourself today, looking only at here and not lifting your eyes up and seeing the hazard of destruction that is approaching, or we can come to Christ and enter through that narrow gate humbly, recognizing our sin and accepting the work of Jesus Christ, going his way, committing ourselves to walking that difficult path, knowing that ultimately it does lead to everlasting life. What road tonight are you on? Are you on this hard path as a Christian? Do you remember the point where you entered? Do you remember the evangelists that pointed you the right direction? Maybe some of us we have never entered that gate. Maybe you're on this broad road and you seem quite content at the moment. Maybe you've gone down different avenues off it. You've explored the road fully. You've tried the things that entertain in the city of destruction. You've tried the morality of the city of morality. You've tried being a legalist. Maybe you find that all of those things simply keep that burden on your back. And as you read this particular book, and you discover that there is only one way that sin can be dealt with. And it's by entering through the narrow gate, entering through Jesus Christ, putting our trust in him, that you can be saved. Maybe tonight is a night where you need to come. And you need to enter the narrow gate and begin the hard road, but the road that leads to life. What road are you on? The section finishes. So in the process of time, Christian reached the gate. Now over the gate was written, "Knock, and it shall be open unto you." He knocked therefore more than once or twice, saying, "May I now enter here?" Well, he within, open to sorry me though I have been, an undeserving rebel, then shall I not fail to sing his lasting praise on high. Have you come to that point that Bunyan speaks of? Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, again we thank you that the work of conversion is always a miracle. And we recognize, Lord, that it is all the more amazing a miracle when we realize that left to our own devices, very, very few, in fact, none would seek after you. But we thank you that you do perform this miraculous work of drawing some to the gate, of drawing some to yourself, of bringing them to a point of recognition of their sin and recognition of the work of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, for each and every individual that you have saved in this room and for the influences and way that you brought them to yourself. We pray, Lord, that they would be once again thankful for the way that you have worked in their life. And we pray as well, Lord, that you would work in the lives of any who do not know you. We pray that you would cause them also to find you while you may be found. That though they recognize the way is hard, and the gate is narrow, we pray that humbly they would come and be saved. For it's in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.